So a few Sundays ago, Pastor Haley spoke about the devil and how he wants to attack our identity and wants to make us to be less than. Then last Wednesday, he spoke about making God a priority. Today, I want to talk about the tools the Holy Spirit gives us to help us have an identity in Christ and show that God is the priority in our lives. Tonight, I want to talk about spiritual gifts and how they are used to bring glory to God and how each one of us has access to them. Truly, it isn't that we have access to spiritual gifts, but we have access to the Holy Spirit himself, the third person in the Trinity. In John 16, 5 through 15, Jesus talks about how now I'm going to go away, the one who has sent me and none of you has asked me where I'm going. Instead, you are very sad, but it is actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor, or the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, he'll come, because I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the prince of this world has already been judged. Oh, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. All that the Father has is mine. This is what I mean when I say the Spirit will reveal to you whatever he receives from me. The thing is, we have access to the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit right now, right here, according to what God tells us, what Jesus tells us. It's like you've probably asked yourself or been asked, what is your spiritual gift? I know that I have. The reality is that the true gift is the Spirit himself. When we walk in the Spirit, we have access to all the spiritual gifts. It's the Spirit who gives us the gifts according to God's will, according to God's purpose, and bring glory to him. So through the Spirit, what gifts we do have access to, for this we need to look at 1 Corinthians 12. So with spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit has, through 1 Corinthians 12 and a couple of other Bible verses that I'm going to read, has given us a few different gifts that we have access through just by believing in him and asking him to show them to us. So in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to highlight 9 of those gifts. So now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities of the Holy Spirit gives each of us, for I must correct your misunderstanding about them. You know that when we were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are many different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. The one person the Spirit gives the ability to give to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another, and to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God, or to another the Spirit, which Spirit, or what kind of Spirit is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. Like I said, the passage gives us 9 spiritual gifts: wise advice, special knowledge, special faith, healing the sick, miracles, prophecy, the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit, discernment of spirits, speaking in unknown languages, and the ability to interpret what is being said in those unknown languages. In Romans 12:3 through 11, I thought this would be really efficient if I did it this way, but we'll see if it's going to help or hurt me here. There we go. God's messenger, I give you, each of you, this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have the faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving, serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is that to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take light in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. So the Bible, or the Romans 12, covers 7 more, which are prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, generosity, leadership, and showing kindness. The United Methodist Church describes 20 spiritual gifts, which pulls from both of these 2 verses, including Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter. I want to focus mostly on the 1 Corinthians 12 because all of the gifts that we have kind of fall under that chapter. And that is usually the main chapter that we think about when we're talking about spiritual gifts. And the first one that I read off of 1 Corinthians 12, of the main, were the 9 main, was wisdom. Wisdom is the ability by the Holy Spirit to a person so he or she can receive insight into how given knowledge may be best applied to a specific need within the body of Christ. Have you ever been in Sunday school or a small group, and you've been doing like a prayer or prayer time, somebody's given a problem or wants a solution, and you feel in your heart you have something to say, some type of advice to give, and you just start talking or praying about the person and sharing some great advice that you just never even knew you had. It just comes from deep down. You start feeling good about what you're saying, even though you don't really know what you're saying. But if you start to like think about it, you're going to lose what you're saying. It just comes out and flows. And if you were to lose that train of thought, you might step on what God's word is. And when you're finished, the person or group thanks you and is glad you shared, but truly you have no idea what you said, where the prayer came from. This is sometimes at least how I felt that I have used the gift of wisdom. A lot of times it happens in Sunday school. A lot of times it'll happen while we're having prayer right here in the worship center, especially on Wednesdays or Sundays when Greg is up here. Often those are words of wisdom that are coming from God and through the Holy Spirit. The next is special knowledge. This is when the Holy Spirit gives the body of Christ the ability to discover, analyze, and clarify information and ideas that are important to the growth of the body of Christ. So a few months back, we all were listening to special knowledge when Kelly Brown got up and unknowingly gave an account of special knowledge when he was talking about how Todd and he sat on his back porch or front porch and things just came together. So he told about how Todd and Neil and himself were surprised how things worked out between them with the contractors, the architects. And I'm pretty sure, I'm betting that the committee has never been instrumental in planning a church or large building projects. I don't know, Neil, have you guys ever got together, the three of you, and provided any of those kind of support things, like build a church or remodeling churches? They had to rely on the Spirit to give them the gift of special knowledge and to help physically grow the body of Christ. So sometimes the gift of special knowledge just comes and when we're gathered together and we're trying to solve a problem in the church, we're trying to solve a problem in between, like it says, when two or more of you are gathered. Sometimes it's just a matter of, oh, you've come to a stopping point. You sit down and pray, and suddenly it's there. That is a gift of special knowledge. The next one that was on my list was healing. Healing is very special to me because I feel that I've got to use the gift of healing in my ministry, but also in my profession. So the gift of healing is healing the sick. Healing the sick is the gift the Holy Spirit gives to the body of Christ to cure illness and restore health apart from natural means. One day in service, Larry and Jajewski shared that with us during the Altergate conference, during a worship service at night, his leg had been physically healed. I remember him talking about how his leg grew out and that he was no longer having pain in that leg and that hip. And that is physical healing through touch and through prayer. It can also be spiritual healing. And from personal experience, the gift of healing comes kind of in many forms. So as many of you know, I work at Knox Community Hospital, and my job or career is healing. I'm the inpatient wound nurse, and so I get to use healing quite often. But sometimes, through God and through the Holy Spirit, they give me the gift of healing, but not physical healing. I had a patient recently that I had been treating for multiple heel wounds and ulcers from sores that he got while he was in a nursing home. A few times, God had almost healed him from these ulcers, but the patient had a few setbacks. One day I came into the patient's room and did my routine with his dressing changes, and during the time I was treating him, I felt the call to pray with him. At first, I ignored the call, but forced myself to get over it. I bet you all have kind of felt that, where you're kind of embarrassed of that awkwardness. And I just asked the patient if I could pray for him. I prayed for the patient, but instead of being a prayer of physical healing, it was a prayer of for comfort, for understanding and acceptance. When the prayer finished, the patient smiled and thanked me. The next day, the patient's wife told me that he told the family that we prayed together and it meant a lot to them. The patient was able to say his goodbyes to his family and then pass comfortably the next evening. Often we think that healing is physical and we need to see God heal someone from disease. Sometimes the healing needs to be done with the soul and a comforting touch or a spirit-led prayer. Maybe it's all that is needed to help someone understand loss or acceptance of the reality of life. I've also had times where I've been talking with patients and I could feel that they were lost or didn't know what the next step was. And there's been a couple times that I've actually gotten Pastor Hazley involved in some of the patients that I've been taking care of. He's visited him in the hospital or has actually visited him in the nursing home after they've left. And I know that that is very special, that patient, but also to my ministry at the hospital. Next is the gift of miracles, which are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to perform powerful acts that have changed the ordinary course of nature. I personally feel that the United Methodist Church's definition dilutes the gifts of miracles, and if you look on the sheet that it was out, I'm going to go over that here in just a second. The gift of miracles, and this is the United Methodist definition, the gift of miracles is not about performing miracles, but about living in the miraculous reality of God's creation. Those gifted with miracles never doubt the power and presence of God in creation and are able to help others see and believe in God's power. The gift of miracles does not focus on the extraordinary, but sees the miraculous in the mundane and normal. Living in the spirit of the miraculous, people see God in nature, in relationships, in kind acts, and in the power of love. It is, to a degree, seeing the miraculous realities of God's creation, but it is also seeing God do something miraculous to strengthen the body of Christ. Janice, who I was hoping would be here today, but she cannot be, she told us a story, not really a story, but she told us about her daughter and granddaughter who didn't know or want to know Christ at the time, and how she prayed for the miracle of their salvation. We have actually seen this miracle personally when her daughter came, I believe it was on a Wednesday night service, came to give her testimony during that service. And I actually got to see her daughter this afternoon and talk to her more about actually my message I was giving tonight on spiritual gifts and just the miraculous change that she has had in her life. And it all came through the prayers of her family, but also many in the church, and just the steadfastness that she had to pray for that miracle of her salvation. We have also seen the spiritual gift of prophecy here during a Sunday service when Lou Luckmeyer stood up one service and talked about how the Holy Spirit had given him a message. And often when we see prophecy, prophecy is the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given through individuals to communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance. Prophecy goes beyond the words of knowledge and is often confused with fortune-telling. The United Methodist Church here does a great job of defining prophecy, and it defines it as the gifts of prophecy is the ability to speak God's word to others, or more appropriately, to be open to God, for God to speak God's word through us. Prophets do not predict the future, but offer insight and perspective on current conditions and how things might turn out if changes aren't made. Prophets are incisive, clear, and often controversial communicators. Prophets see things that others often don't, and they have the courage to tell it like it ought to be. Like I said, Lou was given the gift of prophecy when he brought the word of God to us that we needed to pray for our community. He started walking the streets of Fredericktown and praying and getting the congregation involved due to his gift of prophecy. And due to that gift of prophecy, this town has been covered in prayer street by street and home by home. Many of the men in the church during men's group have walked the streets with Lou. Many of us have walked personally with him street by street, covering a map that Lou got out and made sure that he was getting every street on that map. The ability to know, the next gift is the ability to know whether it is really God's or the Spirit of God or another spirit, also known as discernment. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit gives to tell if someone is truly, or if something is truly from God or from another spirit. Just because it sounds like it's from God doesn't mean it's really from God. Often our humanity gets in the way of God's plan for our lives. When the gift of discernment is used, it can be confirming of God's plan in the situation or rebuking in love and support that it may not be the true plan or work of God on your life or for the body of Christ. Discernment, sometimes, I know I get myself, and you can ask my wife, I get caught up in, I think this is God's plan, or I think we should really do this. And my wife, I think, would probably have more of the discernment of our family, and she will say, we need to pray about this. She can kind of feel that I might be getting a little bit too ahead of myself in some of the decisions or choices I make, like buying a yellow Jeep. So it's sometimes her that I have to rely on to have that gift of discernment to see if it's really good for our family or if it's really something that we need to be led through the Spirit or if we need to go with it and trust that God's going to take us to the next step or the next level. We also have to discern a lot of things with our daughter Ellie, who many of you guys have met, and was actually dancing in the aisles. A lot of the medical issues that she has, we get the gift of discernment to know if they're really the things we should be doing, if they're the surgeries we should do or the things that we should go ahead with, or if we need to sit back and pray and bring it before the church. And so we've used the gift of discernment and sometimes the gift of wisdom a lot with our family. The last two gifts I want to speak about are two gifts that I'm not very familiar with, and are not ones that I personally have used or seen in the past. The two gifts are the ability to speak in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Speaking in tongues can be either when the Holy Spirit gives the one ability or gives one person the ability to speak in a language he or she has never learned. It can also be a gift from the Holy Spirit to receive and communicate an immediate message to God, to people, through a divine utterance in a language they have never learned. When the gift is used, like in Pentecost in Acts 2, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and able to speak in different languages, and a crowd came together and each heard the word of God being spoken in their own language. Often we hear of people sharing the gospel in other countries who do not know the language of the people they are ministering to. Often they have interpreters, but sometimes God gives the missionaries the ability to speak in the native tongue or learn the language quickly to share the gospel more effectively. Often we hear of the gift of tongues being given when the Holy Spirit is moving through an individual and human words and ideas are not enough to bring before God. So the Holy Spirit washes over the individual and allows them to speak in a holy language. Or God has a message for his people being relayed through the Holy Spirit and a person or persons begin to speak in tongues. In this case, the gift of interpreting tongues is also given so that others may benefit from the holy utterances. Often the gift of tongues isn't given for the congregation or God's people. Often the gift of tongues is used when we're actually before people who are not Christians to show them the power of God. I'm going to read it. It's from 1 Corinthians 14:20. Dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, but be mature and wise in understanding matters of this kind. It is written in the scriptures, I will speak to my own people through unknown languages and through the lips of foreigners. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So you see that speaking in tongues is a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of the believers, not unbelievers. Even so, if unbelievers or people who do not understand these things come into your meeting and hear everyone talking in unknown languages, they will think you are crazy. But if all you are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and they will be condemned by what you say. As they listen, their secret thoughts will be laid bare, and they will fall down on their knees and worship God, declaring God is really here among you. So now that we've talked a little bit about the different spiritual gifts that we have, I want to talk about how we receive the spiritual gifts. I'm going to simplify it and take it, kind of the religious rules out of it and make it easy. You need to know the Holy Spirit. We often are taught that the Trinity, and we know that God is a being and that Jesus is a being, but often we don't know much about the Spirit. We often use descriptions like, the worship service was filled with the Spirit today, or I could feel the Spirit leading me. It is still hard to grasp, but the Holy Spirit is a being as real as God and as Jesus. This next verse is John 14:15-17, and then 26. If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you do, because he lives with you now and later and will be in you. And then 26 says, but when the Father sends the counselor as my representative, and by the counselor I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I myself have told you. Jesus says, if you love me and obey my commands, the Father will give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. So first we need to surrender ourselves to Jesus and follow his commands. I encourage you to move into a life that allows you to live by faith, a faith that allows the Father, Son, and Spirit to guide your entire life by putting God first and allowing Him to work through you. To live by faith does not require you to live a perfect life, but be the perfect Christian. It requires you to trust God and allow God to do miraculous things through an imperfect being. It requires you to simply allow God to use you to do His work here on earth with the powers and gifts of the Holy Spirit. This last verse is Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 6. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave His approval to people in the days of old because of their faith. So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that there is a God and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So what can we do to show God our faith? How can we live in the power of the Holy Spirit? If you would like the Spirit to guide you, I have this little, I pulled out from one of my readings on spiritual gifts, like a little traditional prayer that was written. And I would encourage you to kind of make this your own as I'm praying it right now. Father, thank You. Thank You for the immeasurable gift of Your Holy Spirit. I now yield and surrender all my life to Him and His working of Your will in me and through me. Thank You, Father, for hearing me and immediately responding. You are the Master and I am the servant. Your servant is ready to obey. Here I am. Send me. One of the reasons why I wanted to do a thing on spiritual gifts, and when the pastor asked about if anybody could fill in through the summer, and I jumped right away and said, hey, I want to do something on spiritual gifts, is because sometimes I think they're glossed over. Sometimes I think that we think of spiritual gifts as something that somebody perfect has to have, somebody who does a lot of prayer or gets into the Word a lot, and those things help. But you and I, normal, imperfect, sinful people, we have access to these gifts every day, whether it's leadership, whether it's ministry, whether it's prophecy, whether it's speaking in tongues. If you're living in faith and you're living within the Holy Spirit and calling the Holy Spirit to live beside you and through your life, you have access to these gifts as He feels you need them. It may be one day that you're standing next to somebody in line at Walmart and you can tell that they're not feeling well or they just collapsed or something. You have the gift of healing or can call on the Holy Spirit when you pray over them. It may be as simple as giving a word of knowledge while you're at work. A coworker of yours is having a hard day, might be going through a life-changing experience like divorce or loss, and it's a matter of just giving them a gentle touch and praying over them and having that gift of knowledge to share with them maybe something that might help them move past what they're dealing with. But we, on a daily basis, have these gifts readily available to us and can access them anytime we want to by just simply saying, Lord, be with me. Lord, allow Your Holy Spirit to work through me and use my words as Your words. It's as simple as that. Lord, thank You very much for allowing me the time here to speak to the congregation about spiritual gifts and hopefully bring some understanding to who You are in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that the Holy Spirit is a being that we can call on every day at any time. Lord, I thank You for sending the gift sending the Holy Spirit and allowing us to use these gifts to better the body of Christ. Help us to learn to live in Your Spirit more often and through faith. Lord, just thank You again for the honor that it is to be here in front of the congregation and speaking Your words. In Your name we pray. Amen.